previously on the hired swords. Whatever I do, I mustn't think. If I can hear their thoughts, they can hear mine. They mustn't carry my memories. No. Remember your training. Sovereign of House Emberoke. Sovereign of House Emberoke. Sovereign of House Emberoke. Sovereign. Craig Scalder.
Listening to The Hired Swords.
Wait, so am I. That's so cool.
Okay, shh, quiet down. I'm trying to listen.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Hired Swords. I am your Dungeon Master, Michael. And I'm joined by Mikey. He's Joxer.
Hey, you.
Hey, buddy.
I'm Joxer.
It's good to see you. I'm also joined by Blaze. He's the Kriggs
hey,
man.
Hey, it's me, Kriggs. That was the worst. I am so sorry, listener.
Derek's Davin.
No. I'm going to play Gerald instead today.
Derek's Gerald.
That's hi, Gerald.
Oh. Well, it depends.
Ash is here. She's going to be Gwendolyn.
Hi. Did it work? I was trying to do like a drive-by, but I don't know if it worked.
It was a high-by. Kind of,
yeah, it was like a high-by.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Here I am.
I just think if you physically do it, you don't have to have make your voice do it as well. You
know? Yeah, we're coming in with some weird energy today.
it's like going on a walkie-talkie when it's going to automatically.
Or, yeah.
That's our next opener.
Yeah, we're going to buy it.
I can honestly say I intended to say "Hey yo," and I didn't expect to go first, so it turned into "Hey you."
I scared you. Nice.
He doesn't work under pressure. He can't say hello under pressure.
If you can't tell, listener, it's been 3 weeks since we've recorded, so our energy is funky.
We're recording a podcast tonight, everybody. That's what we're going to do right now, and I'm going to give us a recap of where we were when we left off in this game. Who needs that in their lives?
I do.
Me. Yeah,
so I'll take it. This is our first podcast. Don't worry.
Some listener out there is like, I just stopped listening to the last episode. I don't care about your recap. Skip 30 seconds. Skip 30 seconds. Well, if you haven't skipped, hi, how you doing? When we last left off, you guys were down inside Lonely Hill. That's right, everyone. We are in Lonely Hill. And you had made your way through past the bodies that were at the entrance to Lonely Hill, past the illusion that was these fungus and even a collapsed wall. You guys got through that, made your way down to through this tiny kind of crawl spillway into this wet, dank, moldy, underground kind of like fortress kind of thing, where you went down a hallway and kind of explored a little bit. You heard the sounds of rushing water, and sure enough, you came up on a river, had some creative use of some spells. You didn't do a lot of exploring, but Davin did a little bit, kind of looking around, found a couple little interesting trinkets, some mirrors, some stuff like that. And then with some creative use of some spells, you were able to kind of get your way across this wide river. When you made it across the river, some interesting things that happened was you kind of stumbled and started to fall because Davin was about to step on one of these little mushrooms on the ground and found himself unable to do so. And so he almost tripped and fell over. Also, the mushroom people you have been hearing in your minds, as well as hearing each other in your minds, these people all start to speak to you. And you had this like mind conversation with them about destroying her is kind of the conclusion you came to. Perhaps this is what they want you to do. They all kind of came out of their hiding and are now gathered around you. This dozens of these different size mushroom people, some taller than a human, some little small four-legged like an animal creature. But you hear in your minds over and over again this, he help us, they help, they help us. You end her, stop her, make her no more. And you kind of hear this in your mind and all these voices kind of filling your mind. And that's where we left off after they all kind of came out and started speaking to you in that way. What are you going to do now as you stand hearing this cacophony of voices in your minds?
Guys, don't move. Maybe they can't see us if we don't move.
I was about to say Gwendolyn probably moves towards one of the mushroom people.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Devin's like, hold. Nope. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, as you step towards them, they kind of reach to their two, like, there's one hand that looks almost like a paddle. It's like a or a petal, I guess, not a paddle, like a petal of a flower, and it's bright orange and fades down like a gradient to a yellow, reaches towards you and it kind of folds out from a stem like torso of this creature. The other one reaches towards you as well, and it's kind of a light blue color, but it's smaller. It's like half the length. And it reaches towards you like as if to and puts its hands together like as if to like reach to grab your hands as you approach.
I let them do so. I also outstretch as I walk towards them. Are they smaller than me? Or are these the tall guys?
This one is one of the taller ones. It's a little taller than you. And not much taller. Not like just giant. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just a little taller than you.
I just didn't know if it was Krieg's height to where I had to bend down. But okay.
Hey.
I'm just kidding, friend.
No, it's about the size of a human person. And a tall human person, but a human person. And when you reach your hands out, it grabs your hands and it just starts kind of caressing them and rubbing them and bowing its head. And you can just hear all the voices kind of rush this louder voice as they kind of get louder and louder. And Gwendolyn, you kind of feel as you're touching this, as this creature's touching you, you just kind of feel this sense of confusion and loneliness. And make a wisdom saving throw.
Uh-oh. 10 plus. What's my mouse doing?
Probably eating cheese.
10 plus 8, 18.
Yeah, that's real good. So you do sense this feeling of like loneliness and emptiness and confusion, and you're kind of reading it like, and you feel like it kind of makes you almost want to join in with the sorrow and the sadness, but you kind of shake it off, but you do sense this feeling of dread, but what's below, what's something below, something beneath gives you that sense of dread that they're all sharing. And you kind of caught a glimpse of it as it was like rubbing your hands and caressing your hands. And the voices are getting louder and it's just, please, please help you. Help us. We go back. We are here. We stay here, but we go back to here. And it's just weird. Just these continued
voices. Am I hearing those too, or is this strictly
everybody? Everybody's still hearing public. The voices rise too, like that. Yeah, you're all hearing more volume in response to what Gwyn's doing.
I think in that moment, while she's kind of having that moment with them and noticing that it's kind of building as she's having that moment, I probably would approach one that's relatively my same height, just because it makes the most sense to try to see eye to eye. And like, I get the impression they're all. There's no singularity here. It's like, I mean, it's all hive mind in a way. So I approach one and I'm going to approach it like I would anything else, like any other creature, and try to introduce myself. And hello, my name is Sovereign Ember Oak. My friends call me Kriggs. Hello.
It reaches for you and puts two hands on your shoulders, like one hand on each shoulder like this, and its head starts nodding its head up and down. This one is more of a reddish color with like yellow move as it moves up to the top. And you can see the front of it where like a face would be there are these gaps in the mushrooms, and they're pulsing like gills almost would on a fish as the fish breathes, like opening and closing these vertical openings in this thing's where a face would be. And you're feeling like this thing doesn't see you It's right. It's just like sensing you. And so it does start to kind of feel your neck and feel around your shoulders and your back and just kind of touch on you with these little flower petal like arms of its that it has. And you keep hearing this voice. Thank you for helping. You're helping us. Help us. She's down. And you just keep hearing these voices continuing to rise. Make a wisdom saving throw as well.
I'm also trying my absolute hardest not to give the whole like stink face of like, they're touching me, but
yeah. Okay. That might be a performance check if you want.
Pass. Oh, that's a 9. Hold on. Yeah, that's a 9.
A 9 on your wisdom saving throw?
Let me double check that I don't have any wisdom to bump on that, because I, as always, am prepared with my character sheet and everything. That's D&D, right? You have your character sheet.
Yeah, you're coming here. You're here to play a game, so have everything you need for the game ready. That's you. That's how you roll.
Yeah, yeah. 10. Sorry, I'm 10. 10.
Okay, so as you are experiencing these voices getting louder, suddenly this dread and this deep emotion and loneliness that you feel sets in to a point where you feel it deeply, as if you are now sharing in this hive mind's feelings. And all of the, everyone else can see, except Gwendolyn, they can see all of these like places in this creature's where, like I say, face would be, they begin to, they open up, and Kriggs just kind of leans his head back violently, almost like he would be shouting or screaming, but there's no, he doesn't do that. He doesn't scream, but it's just this like head back, arms back, shoulders back, looking up in the sky. And Kriggs, you suddenly sense this, the deepest feeling of sadness you've ever felt before. And as you feel that, you now see all of these creatures sprouting from the earth beneath you, and you look around and you're sprouting like one of them, and you realize you're experiencing their memories with them, and you look around and you see all of these other creatures that look like these mushroom people sprouting up and coming into existence, and you've got this feeling of confusion. What are we? Who are we? Where did we come from? You realize they have no sense of identity whatsoever. And then suddenly it all comes clear to you that it's because of her. And all you want is to get down there and finish her.
I think after seeing Gwen, you know, go up and then Kriggs go over, I, in my head, they better not hurt them. Don't do anything. And then I'll see Kriggs kind of like flail back. And I would at least draw my weapon pretty aggressively. Like, I'm at least prepared to do something, but I'm going to hold.
In my stupor, being like having these visions and things, do I have enough cognitive awareness to know that he's like having this action, or is in like the blink of an eye? How aware am I of him pulling his sword?
By the time his sword is pulled, you've been released and you don't feel this anymore.
Okay.
It was almost instantaneous, and you feel like you lived days in the life of these creatures all at that one instant.
Okay. I'm going to, for sure, with all of that revelation and all of that experience, I being completely unprepared for it, I am falling to my hands and knees and will kind of vocally hearing Joxer pull the weapon and see that, raise one hand and Joxer, no.
And the voices all pick up and start to say, it sees, they saw, they see, they know. They know now, they know. She's below, she's beneath, she's down.
Guys, are we safe here? Is this safe? This feels very dangerous to me.
I believe it's safe. And she just keeps making eye contact with her new mushroom friend. Someone did something. There's sadness. I don't know what.
Are you sure, Kriggs? And I'll slowly put my rapier down.
Still very much. I am just trying to collect myself and like, not necessarily remember who I am, but like, that was a lot to take in. Look, I still don't understand 100% what's happening here, but it's, there is something below and they're not. This isn't a farce. There is something here that is creating or using these creatures for whatever purpose that they not only don't intend for, but It could be nefarious. I'm by all means, if you want to see for yourself, I'm sure they're willing. I'm sure they're willing to let you experience what I just did. And I look at the creature that had placed its hands on my shoulders and whatnot, and I kind of just smirk and like, I just have to ask, I assume.
It communicated with you? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Look, it... Come here. I'm going to grab Joxer's like wrist a little bit. It's, you know, it's fine. It's just a new friend. Just take it in stride and it'll be. And then I push him from his lower back, like directly at this mushroom guy that I had communicated with.
All right. Make a dexterity saving throw, Joxer.
Chase.
All right.
Push him in.
Go see for yourself, lad.
Well, better than nothing, I suppose.
So that was a 19. So. Or no, that was a 21. 13
make
plus.
Make a strength check.
Strength check?
Ooh. No, Kriggs.
All right. Well, I drew a dirty 20, so.
All right, dirty 20 against a 20, dirty 21. Woo, boy. So you do shove him back, and he stumbles backwards, but he's able to catch himself and turn right before he goes into the grasp of this creature you were just... embraced by, basically, and he has a choice now as he's leaning, his momentum's leaning him forward, but he's fully capable of stopping himself, but he has a choice.
I feel like my biggest reaction is to make sure that I don't actually just run into them, but I don't mind what was happening, so...
It was such a big brother jerk moment. Just go feast, go see for yourself.
So, as I kind of turn, I'll release a little bit so that I can, you know, balance myself by maybe lightly touching the shoulders of...
Okay. Yeah, so you reach out and you grab the shoulders. One's lower than the other. The thing's not proportioned like a person. It's like it grew from a stem and then just like existed as a human-looking creature. But you reach out and grab its what would be shoulders. And when you do, it gently puts its like petal arms underneath your arms and wraps them around, and those pores on its face area open up, and you have a choice to either try to resist and make a wisdom saving throw, or allow whatever it's trying to communicate to you to happen.
If I understood correctly, I would not resist. Knowing that I'm supposed to gain some kind of insight or communication. So I would have kind of left that one open.
Okay, so sure enough, you get this flash of vines whipping and flailing, and these mushrooms that are in this space, it looks like you're in this room, and all these mushrooms that are in here, as the vines kind of fade and you no longer see them, you see these mushrooms grow and morph into these beings, and you begin to feel this growing and morphing like you're one of them, and you're walking around aimlessly in this space, in this area, and you just feel a fear and a sadness and a loneliness and a confusion of no identity, no understanding of who you are, what you are, and poof, you're released again, just like Kriggs was.
I reach a hand out to help him up, because I'm assuming that was quite the startling event.
Yeah, I imagine that I'm like half like sliding down the mushroom person, because they had their, you know, petals underneath my arms, and so I...
Quite the ride, huh?
It could have given me a little bit more of a warning than that, Kriggs.
Ah, but... what's the fun in that? And I pat him on the back.
This is so like... a religious tent revival sort of situation.
What's the deal?
You just get slain in the spirit.
Yeah. This is payback for the horse collar.
Yeah, and the letting you fall.
Davin points at Joxer. He says, "I'm not doing that."
I feel collectively we understand enough. She is real. Whether we know what we're after or not, we have a path.
Gwen, how do you feel about all this? You're the one that found this cave. You're the one that connected to these creatures somehow, bringing us here. How are you feeling? I don't want to presume that you're feeling any kind of way about what's happening here.
You see Gwendolyn still holding their hands, kind of cock her head a little bit, and just, I don't know how I found them. I thought we were headed to Alamora, but I guess fate brought us here to help these people. She turns around a little, loosening the grip. We have to help them. Did you see what they saw? Who is she?
I don't know about you, Kriggs. I didn't see who she is. It's more of a fear. I understand the growth. I guess it bringing or being brought to life, but being held down by something, whoever she is.
I think it would do us some good to at least see what's down there. We can make decisions and make an educated determination once we've figured out what's actually happening here. But I lean in. I don't want to make rash conclusions based off trying to like phrase in ways the mushrooms might not panic.
Davin interrupts by thinking in his mind, you know they can hear all of our thoughts, right?
Crap.
They help.
Jasser, he just kind of thinks, and where is down? Down the river? Down the stream? Where?
I turn around back to the mushroom friend. Where? Which way do we go? Map? Leader?
The one you're looking at points their pedal arm to your right, their left, and says, and you just, everyone senses and hears this,
below, go below.
Do I trust that?
Make an insight check.
Okay.
See how well you are reading this mushroom face thing. How good you are at that.
They call me mushroom face.
Not looking
that brings
too
back
hot.
Bad memories from high school, so.
How's a six?
Yeah. Man, everything about this is creepy. You know? It's like they're this hive mind, there's these weird mushroom creatures. You've never seen anything or heard of anything like this before. They're super vague and super like cryptic, and you're kind of like, I don't know, man. I don't know what if this is helpful or not. Maybe we go that way. Maybe we go the opposite. At this point, you don't know what would be the best choice.
Well, do we see another way to go even in this cave?
Oh, there's walls here. These are stone walls. It's like a padded down dirt floor. And you see one doorway to your left. You also see ahead of you, like the hall. You're in this 15-foot wide hallway that opens to the left and to the right ahead of you, like a T in the hallway with a stone wall in the back. And it's illuminated by the mushrooms growing all throughout as well. And behind you is that stream, that river rushing behind you.
Maybe we should look around here. Maybe there's some more information on who she is. Somebody built this. This is not natural cave walls here. Somebody's been here before.
Yeah, I agree. That sounds like a great idea. And I'll look over and I guess speak out loud and in my head. I'm really confused on what I'm supposed to be doing in that respect. Is she like you? And I'll like point at their skin and gills, or like, you know, or like me, and point at me.
All right, I'm gonna make a check real quick. Hang on.
Oh
dear.
I gotta see if this thing knows what you're talking about. It's a plus zero, so it just copies you, mimics your actions, and starts to touch itself, and then it touches you where you touched yourself, and that's all it does. And in the mind, it's like, help, help, we help, you help.
Yes.
That's it.
We will help. Thank you.
All right, so you're talking to mushrooms. That's about all you're going to get out of it.
Noticing the crowd, we are felt relatively surrounded by all different shapes, sizes, and heights of mushrooms. The one that's standing kind of close to me now, not the one that I had talked to originally. I'm going to kind of elbow on the side and be like, friendly elbow. You know, they where I come from, they call me the Mushroom Daddy.
Gwendolyn turns around. I've never heard that.
Don't listen. It's true. Don't listen to her.
Are you sure? I don't think once in the time that I've met you, I've Mushroom Daddy.
Yeah, it's I mean, look. And then I just like walk away.
Awesome. The hive mind, these creatures are still excited, expectantly chanting almost.
They help. They help. They help. They help.
Just chanting practically in what seems to be like just excitement that this is, that there might be somebody here to help.
It's starting to almost sound like melodic song the way that you're describing it. I get the feeling that we're not going to get a whole lot more like actual information. It doesn't seem like we're communicating well, but they are not friendly. Can I just look around and see if anything specifically stands out about this area? If there are things that I might recognize or understand?
Yeah,
basically,
you just want to
it's a cave, but they're seemingly kind of just based on what you've described, there are human, or like at least not mushroom people, traces. This was used as something. What was it? What is it? Something that gives me an idea of what we're about to walk into. I don't, my common sense, not even just military backing, is like, you don't know what you're going up against. Figure out anything you can before you start walking into the next room.
Sure. If you, are you just wanting to look around, not walk around anywhere at this point?
Right now, yeah. I mean, I've played enough Elden Ring to understand you don't just walk into the boss room without realizing.
Cool. Make a make an investigation check.
Absolutely. Character sheets are rad. Investigation is 0. That's a big whopping 14.
14's good. You're definitely knowing. Actually, make it with advantage because you're looking at stone walls right now.
Oh, heck yeah. Go dwarfs.
Dwarfs for the win. And 14's pretty good. It's not going to hurt you, but...
It's 18.
18. All right. So as you look around, you see these are definitely crafted stone. It's all crafted stone. And you can actually see as you kind of walk close to one of these walls where there were like... there's like a wooden plate on the wall that has like a broken, something's broken on it that you can tell was probably like a sconce for lighting that used to be here. And so this was definitely created and built for some type of civilization to have a space down here for something. You're currently in a hallway, so there's nothing like of use to you to know what was here.
Right.
I will say Davin had some time looking in some other places, but I don't know what he's told you that he has found at this point. I think he mentioned that mirror, but that's
I gave the mirror to Gwen.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
You did already. You already have it.
It's mine.
There's a room right here on the left, so we could check out, maybe there's something in it.
I love that. I don't even have to tell you what I'm doing. You already know, because you know my thoughts. Yeah, I'll pop in that room and see.
I'll follow behind him. I'll let him push past the mushroom
that
people.
That first room right after the river?
Sure.
Yeah, the first room. Okay. I'm just the
when you step into that room, the floor is different. It is hewn stone as well. It's no longer just like padded down dirt. And there is
I'm gonna ask you this on that note.
Go ahead.
Being, again, dwarven and understanding craftsmanship and stuff like this, and also being in the military, do I have an idea if it looks like it was built using the same techniques that fortresses, military bases was done, or is it just like civilians building stuff? Like it's just...
Make another check. An intelligence check with your proficiency modifier.
Ooh.
And advantage.
Double ooh.
This is your like stonework check.
Yeah. My big hard floor check.
Like they give you, it's weird. They give dwarves advantage for a check that doesn't exist.
Basically.
I guess it would be an investigation check, but you get the proficiency because it's stone plus advantage. I don't know. Maybe I just
guess it could change too, because it could be like history or investigation.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe I'm too nice.
Well, if we're going int, that's a big, big fat zero. And my proficiency bonus is 4, so I rolled a 19 with that 4.
Yeah, this the difference, the major difference that you would know between like military construction and civilian construction would be like castle walls and things like that, and the way that stuff's built, fortresses. This does seem to have a similar kind of craftsmanship to what you've seen for something like a fortress or a base. It's not as well crafted as you would think like dwarves can do. It doesn't seem like it's done by like dwarven crafters.
They're not used to building underground.
But,
I get it.
Yeah. But it is, yeah, it's craftily hewn, if you will. And it is, the stone floor you can see that's not covered in moss and fungus and stuff is pretty nice. And it's decorative. It's laid out in a pattern and everything too. And this room has a bed in it with a dilapidated molding mattress.
Gross.
A couple chests of drawers are in here. This was someone's bedroom. There's also a doorway across the way, and you could see a curved wall through the doorway at the back, about 15 feet back behind. All of this is lit up in this blue green hue from these fungus in here.
Okay. I'd like to kind of stroll in, and Devin and whoever else, you can also understand like how my mind is processing. I'm noticing these floors and realizing that it's not what I would expect. You heard the whole spiel from the DM. So you get kind of where I'm coming from. We're collecting information and whatnot, but I do want to look in those drawers and see if there's like personal belongings or anything left. Anything. It seems like a bedroom, so.
So the drawers all open pretty easily. One of them you start to pull and it just kind of falls apart in your hand. And as it does, there's a pair of like silk pants in there that has been eaten through and like molded through.
Gross.
Make an investigation check as you look through the rest of it.
Natural 20.
You also find in a drawer, you find a little button in the bottom of the drawer. And when you push the button, it kind of pops up the bottom of the drawer completely, and you open it, and there are two rolled up pieces of paper inside that little extra compartment. They are small. They are not as ruined as they seem to have been protected a little bit from the moisture and stuff down here being in this extra compartment.
Sick. I open those up. Oh, actually, I hand one to Davin because he's in the same room with me. Okay. I'll be like, well... Here's one.
You both roll them up and you start looking at them. I guess, Davin, you go ahead and look at it.
Sure.
Yeah. This doesn't mean what the etching. It's definitely runes and script of some kind on here. It's written in Elven and other magical kind of runes that don't really follow a language. And Kriggs, it doesn't mean a lot to you. Davin, make an Arcana check as you look over this thing. This is a scroll of some sort of it seems like to be some sort of magical scroll.
Ooh, that is a 23.
Well, you actually are pretty familiar with what you're looking at, as this is a lot of different etchings and some circles and things that you've been kind of trying to copy recently, as these are both scrolls of teleportation.
Ooh.
These are scrolls of teleportation. This is kind of what we've always wanted. Or at least I always wanted.
It's the same spells that the mages in Wildhill use to get into the forest. It's the same kind of teleportation, right?
Basically, yeah. So we have two copies of them here.
I roll mine up very delicately and hand it to Davin and be like, we do not need to lose these. And if I hold on to it, it's just going to get messy. So
sure, of course, I'll take them. I'll take them both. I'll put them in my bag.
All right.
I mean, I would probably continue looking around, but... I don't know. Joxer seems like he's off in that other room, and Gwyn, I don't know what she's up to right now.
Yeah, I figured if I saw two run off into one room, then I'd probably try to push back and look in a different room.
Okay, which room do you want to look in? You've got up further ahead, you can go left. There's more hallway. Otherwise, there's behind you across the stream. There were some rooms you didn't look in, but you could also go forward. Yeah, ahead of you, there's left or right, either way.
Yeah, so I feel like I'd probably go left after from that spot. Would I be able to tell that there might be some? I can definitely tell there's an end to the wall, but can I tell that there might be like something moving down
to the on the right?
Yeah,
Yeah. As you walk up and you look right, you can definitely see the walkway ends on a wall and the light kind of disappears, like going downward ahead of you. And it looks like the top of a stairwell that leads downward at the end of that kind of hallway to your right. As you look left, the hallway is slightly wider and there is a door to your upper left and then straight ahead as well. If you go through, or are you going to go through the one on the left?
Yeah, I'd probably just take the first room and peek my head in and see if there's anything that seems
great.
I don't know.
You walk into this room, and in this room there is a dilapidated rug on the floor. Again, I don't know if I have to keep repeating myself. Everything in here is moldy and gross and covered in fungus, smelly, kind of like rot. You see one of those candelabras on the wall. It's a wooden one. One of them's broken off. The other one's still there. There's no candle or anything there anymore. It's rotted away, but the wood is still there, black with rot. There are several of these. Much of this fungus in here is glowing. There's a round table in the middle of the room with maps laid out, and they are pretty dilapidated and worn. A couple of them are still rolled up, though, and there is a tube there with a cap on the end of it on this table as well. And so you see these maps of, it looks like, the forest on the table.
Okay. I'll probably kind of see if any of the maps that were kind of rolled up are in any better shape, but otherwise I'd kind of, as gently as I can, open that tube and see if there is anything else or if it's empty.
Okay, yeah. So as you look at these other maps, you can see one of them's just the continent of Glintry. It's pretty clear that this is what it is. It is marked with, it looks like somebody has kind of like used like a black, like a charcoal, something like that, to kind of etch out like a path from the south up to where the wilds is. And it looks like from way far south, and it's gone through certain cities. It looks like they were tracking movement of something. And then in the tube, as you open the tube, one of the maps, you try to look through, you kind of try to unroll it, and it kind of like just disintegrates in your hands. It's so old and nasty. But then this tube, as you take the lid off the tube, the lid comes off pretty easily. It feels almost like gooey. This is a leather tube and it's starting to get gross, but it's lasted longer than this paper. And you pour out this, you turn, tip the tube down, and this paper slides out rolled up. And this is a map as well. And it is a map. It looks like you see Wild Hill, you see Lonely Hill, you see several kind of landmarks. You see the Stone Mountains. It looks like a map of the wilds.
Oh, interesting. And I'll try to use prestidigitation to kind of clean it and dry it. And same with the other map that's of the area, and then probably call over Gwen to see if she was around yet.
Okay, yeah. So you cast prestidigitation, and this dust kind of rises up off the map and collects and falls over as like a dirt clod on the ground beside you, and the charcoal, are you trying to clean the charcoal drawing and stuff off that other map or leave it on there as it is?
Just trying to, I guess, more so like a little bit of the dust, but mainly try to take out some of the water.
Yeah.
Kind of dry it off.
Well, the one in
bit.
The tube, it didn't seem damp at all. The other one that was on the table, yeah, you definitely pull out this liquid and you can kind of see it pooling and dripping off the edge of the table as you kind of, the magic spell kind of pushes it off of the map. All around this round table, dripping down into a couple cracks in the table and dripping underneath. And yeah, you've kind of purred. It's like your magic has wrung the thing out without actually having to grab it and wring it out. And yeah, so you've got the map rinsed out pretty good. Some of the water was black and stuff from that charcoal being a part of that, and it spread a little into the map, but it's not ruined it for at all.
Gwen, are you around?
Hearing Joxer, you'll hear Gwen think, coming. And as she starts to let go of her friend's hand, and as she's walking past this like line of mushroom people to go towards Joxer, does she realize that they're pure fungi, or were they creatures before they were fungi?
Make a nature check on them.
Okay.
I wasn't even thinking about that. Now I fear that I'm going to turn into a mushroom person.
Oh no! I will be the mushroom daddy.
It's the Last of Us action.
Oh yeah, clickers. Oh god,
spoilers. JK, it's been out for like 20 years.
16 plus 6, 22. Am I counting right? Okay, great.
Your math is correct. Math.
Did you say 22?
Yes.
These things are so much like mushroom plant life that you cannot make sense of a potential for them to have been something else before. It feels, and just your gut tells you, and your understanding of plants and animals tells you that these seem more to be like plants that have been given sentience more than people who have been turned to plants. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay.
That's your gut feeling on that.
Okay. On her way there, you just hear Gwen saying, or thinking, interesting. And just make her way towards Jackson.
And as you pass through the line of them, they kind of part and let you go through, and they touch you. Everybody, all of them are wanting to touch you. There's a couple little ones that look kind of like animals, like critters with four legs. One of them literally comes up and like rubs itself against you like a cat, and it doesn't purr or anything, but it's just they're showing you affection, and everybody hears the voices kind of rise again as Gwen walks through.
They help. They help. They help.
Gwendolyn's probably petting them or touching them because her palms are out towards them.
Awesome.
What did you find?
There's some maps here, and then I imagine in the back of my head, so it would be, Craig's would probably find this interesting. And then
I say, yeah, I would.
that's still a thing.
And then I say, yeah, it is.
No need to shout.
Then I say, he's in the other room.
Yeah, just make a left. It looked like there might be stairs down on the from the right of the T, but there's more to the left and some interesting maps that you might be able to make a little bit more sense of.
And then I just say out loud, sick.
Oh, Christ.
Gwendolyn just looks at Joxer and thinks, let me look. Gwendolyn goes to touch the maps and see if she recognizes anything as she flips through them.
Craig's this whole time is trying really hard to not think things as like singular thoughts, so it's not intrusive, and that's why he's just saying things like yes, like as basic as I can be right now, and I'm trying to keep people out of my head.
All right, so Gwen, make a investigation check as you look over those maps, or you can make a survival check, whichever one of those for you is better, if either are.
Survival. Oh my god. 16 plus 8, 24?
20 numbers. This is definitely a map of the wilds. You are very quickly able to track the path you took, at least to the edge of the woods before you ran up to get to where you are. You see Lonely Hill and you realize you're in Lonely Hill. Like that's where you are right now. And you see Wild Hill, you see Lavereth. That's about as far as it goes, is Lavereth, which is a town west of Wild Hill. And then further south, you see a few other areas that are kind of that are labeled for you that you had never really seen before. So yeah, you see Lonely Hill Cavern on there. You see a place, a couple other places. One, you see like a lake and a river that's far south of Wild Hill called the Notala River. You actually see a place in Wild Hill that's called the Foul Wood. Or not in Wild Hill, in the wilds, called the Foul Wood. And you see the Goblin Village on there with just, it's not named, but there's a couple like drawings of buildings there to say that the goblins have been there a while. And so there's some things on there that you haven't seen before, but there's also stuff that lets you kind of, like landmarks that help you kind of know where this is showing what you see.
Devin hears her like reading these off in her mind. He says, did you say the Foulwood?
Yes.
Huh. I've actually never heard of that. I just think it was a terrible name.
Did you say that you think we're in Lonely Hill right now?
Yes, I believe so.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Stop yelling at everyone. You couldn't just think it. Just think it. We'll all hear you that way.
I don't want you in my head.
Fair enough.
I don't want him in my head. I think out loud.
Too late.
I'm going to check out this other room. I'm going to walk toward the curved room in the back.
All right. That room is, it looks like it was an office. And you see a couple, a table with a couple chairs there that have been kind of broken. And there's a chest at the back of that space as well. And there are a couple books on the ground and next to that chest. The chest, the lid of it has been kind of rotted and it's broken down into the lid of the chest is kind of already mostly open.
Davin will walk over and look down into the chest.
All right. As you look down inside of it, you see a small bag and you see a small, it looks like a shield almost. Not it's literally small, like handheld size. Not I don't even mean handheld. I mean like the size of a like a belt buckle, this shield. And it's got a symbol of with lightning on it. And there's a, it's like dirty on the, on it. It looks a little bit dirty on the symbol.
Just dirty like dirt?
Yeah, it just looks like there's some soot or dirt or something on the symbol of with lightning itself on it.
All right, a little prestige that goes away.
As soon as you press digitate and it goes away, it comes back. It's there again.
Hmm. I'm going to wipe my finger across it. Just have, see if it lands on my finger.
It does. As you wipe it off, you see it on your finger and you look back down and in the time it took you to look at your finger, it's already back on there again.
And my finger's clean?
Nope, it's on you and there.
I'm going to find like a wall that looks relatively clean and wipe it off my finger under the wall.
Okay, yeah, the soot comes off your finger and your finger's clean.
All right, that was kind of scary for a second. That could have got really messy really fast. Hey, Craigs, what do you know about lightning?
And you hear Craigs just like repeating to himself old poetry that like he heard as a child, dwarf, just different things he heard from kids' books because he's really, really not wanting anyone to see in his head. Oh, wait, what was that? He says out loud.
I've got a belt buckle here with a lightning symbol on it. Does that mean anything to you? Does it mean anything to me?
Make a history check.
I will do the same. That's a 14.
Ooh, natural 19. Plus, surely I have some history because I have no history.
You're okay, a smart 19. Boy.
I'm not that smart.
You remember reading about the gods. And this symbol is a symbol of Talos. He's the god of thunder, lightning, storms. Also worshipped by some as a god of war and combat.
Oh, and I know the symbol.
Yeah, and you make a wisdom saving throw as you look at it and think about it.
Wisdom saving throw. That is a 14.
You think this thought that it is, the fact that this is covered in this soot is offensive to you. It doesn't bother you too much, but you're just a little offended that this symbol is being covered by this soot like this.
Well, I don't understand why the dirt won't come off. Is that magic? Was there anything else in the chest? We had a small bag.
Small bag. Did you lift up the bag?
Look sure. The bag? I'll use teleportation to float it right in front of me.
Yeah, okay. If you can look inside it, there are 5 gemstones, smooth gemstones inside there.
Did you say teleportation?
Well, it's my mage hand because I upgraded it. Technically, is a teleport spell now.
Oh,
I'm not using it as a whole spell, just to lift up a small bag.
It's a teleport spell?
Well, I mean, YOLO. No. I keep saying teleport. That's not the right word.
You mean a...
Use the right telekinesis. Word.
Yeah,
it's telekinesis.
Same thing. They're all tellies.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Tenacious D up in here.
Yep, that's right. Tenacious D reference. That's
teamwork.
My boy okay. Blaze got it.
I will use Mage Hand telekinesis to lift it up, turn it over, and dump them into my hand.
Yeah, 5 smooth gemstones. All of them are green. None of them have any swirly black bits inside of them. They just look like valuable gemstones.
All right, we've got some money.
Well, yeah, and you know that there are cultures that do not use gold pieces; they use gemstones as money. You know that that is the fact. Your trading experience, your background, you would know that for sure.
Being just, you know, I guess old, would I know that as well?
Yes. Yeah, you're traveled enough to know that there's some places you go that gold is valuable, but like gemstones are more valuable. Gemstones are valuable everywhere, but like there's some places that only trade in gemstones.
Those places that trade strictly in gemstones, would I have had hostilities with them previously, or are they neutral, or?
Well, no, they are elves that don't live in major cities.
Oh, so they're, okay. Yeah. They're rich is what you're trying. I get what you're saying. Okay.
They, well, not necessarily like high elves and rich, but like elves that haven't adopted themselves into like the culture of man or dwarf or any of those.
Sure. They've kind just of roamers.
Kept that natural. Yeah. They trade in gemstones.
Cool. All right.
I'm going to just check to make sure none of the mushroom people are watching me. And if they are not, then I'll put the things in my backpack.
It's hard to tell if any of them are watching you since they don't really have eyes or a face so much. But yeah, you get they're all kind of milling about out in that hallway. You feel like you've kind of in a space where you can tuck it away.
Then I will tuck them all away. I'll put the gemstones back in the bag and then put that in my bag. And then I'll put it inside another bag and then I'll ship it to him and then I'll smash it with a hammer. Sorry.
Love it. I think we reference that movie every third or fourth episode in some way.
It's hard not to.
Yeah, it's true. It's that quotable. All right. Kriggs, not Kriggs. Joxer, you and Gwendolyn, what are you up to after looking at those maps and stuff?
If Kriggs had made his way back around or I knew he was, I'd probably leave that there and I guess run off to the next room just to double check.
Yeah, the room above you here, to the north of you, I guess is the better way to say it, is a larger room. It's kind of the largest room you've been in here. And it's got a couple tables and some chests. You wouldn't call them treasure chests necessarily, but just chests. It looks like it's like a storage room with maybe like an armory was here once. There's a couple racks on the wall, but there's nothing on the racks. And there's a couple chests. One of them looks pretty busted up, but.
Yeah. Gwen, check this out. And then I'll look at the chest that isn't busted up and then have her, you know, swing around and look at the other one.
I go in to take a look.
All right. Both of you make investigation checks as you look through all those.
All right. So.
Oh, good Lord.
18 plus character sheet, which I don't think I have.
How's a 4?
Minus 1. So 17.
All right, Gwyn, you are having trouble getting one of these chests to open as you try to fiddle with the little latch. Can't get it to open, but you finally do, and inside of there, it's just growing like fungus on the bottom and moss. And you do notice, though, there's movement to your left, and you see one of these, you see this wall to your left is overgrown with this fungus that looks like one giant mushroom. And it looks like this giant mushroom is one of these sentient mushroom creatures. It's huge. And it's like it's what would be its face is looking at you. And it's you hear in your head, they help, they help, they help, they help. And it's still the same hive mind kind of sounds, but you've now found this gigantic. It takes up about 10 feet of wide of this space in the corner of this room. And there's one on the other corner as well. They're both in there and they kind of look like they almost have like arms. One of them only has one. The rest of it's kind of grown into the rest of the fungus in the wall. And the other one has one arm that is reaching towards you like, help, 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 help. And you can hear the things in your mind as you kind of take this sight in. It's kind of gruesome. It looks like this is, actually, make an insight check as you look at them.
That's not pure terrifying.
Oh my gosh. How's a 5? 1 plus 4.
Yeah, they're just creepy. They're freaking you out. That's all.
Am I freaked out? I'm joking. Gwendolyn. Well, I mean,
you're not necessarily scared. You still feel like they're the same as the other ones, maybe. But
oh, okay.
But they're just, this is disturbing, seeing them this way.
You see Gwendolyn, after she fought this lock for so long to get the chest open, to find nothing, you just hear her think, I didn't really find anything. Well, who are you? And she immediately gets up and goes towards this big giant guy. And she goes to touch his hand.
Yeah, you reach forward to touch his hand, and it immediately it reaches forward and grabs yours. And do you want to allow it to communicate with you?
Yes.
Okay. As it opens, this large horizontal split in what its face would be, it opens up. And as it does, you just feel these spores just shoot out of it. And you feel them on your face and crawling into and like absorbing into your nose and your ears and the eye sockets. And it's just like as these spores go inside you. And suddenly you feel this emotion and the feelings again that these things felt. And you see this creature across from you. And you are across from it. And you look down and your legs and body are like the trunk of this mushroom. And it's absorbed into the ground. You're growing. You're stuck planted there. And all of a sudden this like time lapse happens. And as the growth begins to speed up, you grow into the wall and you feel stuck and trapped and held there and you can't move and you reach your arm forward and that's the only thing left. And then you snap out of it. And this all happened in an instant.
Could everyone hear me gasp?
I think, yeah, they probably heard you gasp. Right. And whatever went through your mind before this vision came,
okay.
You they heard that too.
Gwen, are you all right over there?
I'm fine. Just there are bigger mushrooms and... She looks at this new mushroom friend. I'm so sorry.
Its head lowers as it senses your feeling of sorrow for it. And its hand, I guess, I'm trying to think of what to call it, grabs your arm and all the voices say, help, 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 help. And it's like so many. And then all of a sudden, all at once, in unison, they say, end her, in unison. Instead of multiple voices, they spoke as one, end her. And it dropped its hand and its head, and it continues to look at you with this drooping, like if it had shoulders and its head, it's drooping like in sadness and sorrow.
We need to find her, or him, something.
You said other mushroom. Oh, no.
And there's one to your right. There's one right ahead across from you, grown into the far wall of this stone room. And to the right, in this large rectangle room, there's one in that corner to the right, just past the doorway you just came in. And the one to your right can't reach out. It looks like it's pinned to the wall with the growth around it. And the one that Gwyn has one, what would be arm, pinned down. No legs, as it just is a mesh of mushrooms. And you just see Gwyn standing there with this one's hand, what would be hand, stroking her face, looking at her and with this sorrowful body language, and Gwyn matching in with her body language as well.
I take it that you saw.
I did. She doesn't break eye contact with this mushroom. I say we hurry and find out what is happening. And she kind of rushes back to where all the group of mushrooms are. I'm sorry. And she looks at all of them. We'll help. We'll fix this.
Just one more second. I'm going to look at the two books that are sitting on the ground.
Okay.
Find anything in the chest?
Yeah, you found a stack of armor. It's leather armor. And the top, there's like three of them. The top one is pretty rotted. The bottom one's pretty rotted. The middle one's salvageable. It seems to have been protected by the ones on the top and bottom of it. But it's just typical leather armor, it looks like, with a little symbol of a tree in the chest plate. And Davin, the book you're looking at, one of them is... It's just dilapidated, like so much of it was laying there open. The pages are so damp that there's no more text on them. The other one was laying there closed, and it looks like there's papers and stuff in it. And as you look at it, it's a book on tactics. It's called Battlefield Tactics and Strategy. And inside of there are notes. Somebody has been taking notes as they read it, it looks like, and it's written in Elvish.
All right, I'll take it. I'll bring out to Craig's on my way back out. Griggs, maybe this is something that you can... Well, do you speak Elvish? I don't think you do, right?
Nope.
Well, then this isn't going to be helpful for you because it's written in Elvish, but it's a book on... I guess I can't read it either. Never mind. I don't speak Elvish.
Oh, good call.
Yep, as you realize that to yourself. And
I mean, it's a book on Elvish. I can tell that much. I can tell the writing. But yep. What it says, I don't know.
Did you say Elvish?
Yeah, I got a book here.
We can read Elvish, right?
Yes.
I have it. Maybe it has some important information.
I'll bring it out. You see, it's a book on battlefield tactics and strategy.
It was really well done. Great. Caricatures of battlefield like maneuvers.
Yeah.
That's that's
Final
how
fantasy
knew.
Tactics.
No, it's yeah. Real tactics, not fantasy ones.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's actually about the beginning of the battle, not the final part. Okay. So yeah, that's the last thing in that room was that book was there. What are you up to next? What's the next? What happened now?
I think I'd probably head towards those stairs and wait for everybody else.
I'm right behind you.
Same.
I'm silently following.
Is it that silent though? It's is it just you like thinking? Don't think.
Yep.
Devin's kind of doing the same thing. Waffles.
As you guys walk down the stairs into, at first, this darkness, they begin to spiral. And they spiral down until they come to a dirt floor. The dirt floor, you walk, you're now surrounded in this blue hue. And it's bright, it feels bright blue and kind of this same greenish blue color, but it's brighter because you're standing in a white mist it's like a fog that is taking this this light and making it feel brighter as you walk through this mist. You can hear the sound of waves washing up on land underneath here where you are. And you step forward into this fog and you break through to where you now see this 50-foot square room. It's covered in moss and fungus on the floor. And this giant, we're talking 30-foot wide plant sits in the center of this room with vines weaving in and out of it. There are pillars that rise from the floor to the ceiling, and the vines are wrapped around these pillars. And this is like a large warehouse-sized room. You see bodies lying on the floor. You see bodies, what look like bodies of adventurers on the floor, just similar to what you saw above. And they have fungus bursting from open wounds in their bodies. There's this sweet, musty smell in the room, and it's eerily silent, except for the sound of the waves hitting the land beside you. And as you approach and you step into this room, the sound you've been hearing, the sound of the mushrooms above silences. And that creature, the vines, raise up. As you can see, it senses your presence. You look around and you can now see bubbling pools of green liquid, vines here and there spread throughout the ground, and you can see as this creature, this plant is almost like it has a face as it leans the top of its kind of blossoming flower part towards you. The vines reach towards you all, and in the next episode, we're going to roll initiative.
Who boy?
Whose idea okay. was it?
Wow. Downstairs? Davin's.
You found her.
Yeah.
Found her.
Thank you for listening to this episodic installment of The Hired Swords. If you liked our show, do us a favor and tell a friend about us. If you really liked our show, do us a big favor and tell the world. Leave a review. If you want to keep up with us and all the behind-the-scenes goofs and gaffes, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at The Hired Swords. And now you can find us on Discord. See the pinned tweet on The Hired Swords Twitter. Again, thank you for listening.